glory to God. Well, it is so good to see everyone here today. I know you're ready for the Word. We have some exciting announcements. If you want to turn in your Bible over to Psalm 133, we're going to get over there here in just a few moments. Folks, as I begin here today, you may notice that I may be reading off my notes more than usual, at least initially. There's several things that I need to say, and I don't want to get off track, nor do I want to take more time than is needed. And so if you see me reading, it's just because I want to streamline this. I know we have a short amount of time together, and I need to make the most of it. But we will get to Psalm 133 here in just a moment. You know, since all of this coronavirus thing began, we here at Family Church, we had two main goals. You know, goal number one was to do whatever it takes to continue to meet together, to gather together in the name of Jesus so that our church services would not be lost. And also our second goal was to make sure that nobody got left behind. And, of course, that has been the purpose of these drive-in services from day one, that people could attend our church without feeling vulnerable. And, of course, you know, we had our services in our sanctuary. We moved out here because we started to see that there was a population within the church that started to feel vulnerable and left behind because of everything that was going on. And so we moved out here. Not so much because of what the government said, but more so because my responsibility as a pastor is to make sure that we are all together, and we did so to make sure that we didn't leave anyone behind. Folks, we have accomplished those goals. Since this thing has begun, we have not missed one weekend service. We have all been together, and we have not left anybody out, and we are glad for that. We were one of the only few churches that actually had a Resurrection Sunday service, our Easter Sunday, praise the Lord, all across the states of New York and Pennsylvania. And in this region, we were one of the only few that could see each other's faces on that day. Yes, of course, it has been through our car windows, but we have been able to be in person together to see one another. I've had a chance to greet you and see you as your pastor, and we have not just been looking through some computer screen at home. We have been on the church property. We've been gathered in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And so we proceeded with these drive-in church services to make sure everyone could attend church without fear and without wounding their own conscience. We did it to make sure that those who felt vulnerable knew that this church was there for them, and we wouldn't ever forget them. It has afforded us the opportunity to minister to many that we may not have had an opportunity to minister to any other way. But folks, the time has come to make plans to re-enter our building and to begin to worship. Yeah. And to begin to worship in our sanctuary again. Now let me say it, our goals are still the same. Our goals are to make sure that we do not stop meeting together as a church, and we make sure that we do not leave anyone behind. Those are still our goals. So, starting on Sunday, July 5th, this building, our sanctuary, will be available for public worship. Praise the Lord. And on that Sunday, July 5th, we will begin to implement what we are calling our combination worship services. And what that means is that we will continue with the FM transmissions. We will continue parking in this format out here in our parking lot. So people who feel like isolation is best for them, they will still be able to attend church on this property inside their vehicles. We will keep our LED screen out here. We will stream the service out to this screen. We will you know, still be gathered together in Jesus' name, and people who want to enter the building will be able to do so. And folks, yes, amen. And so we are going to have both our drive-in format for people that feel like they need to remain in their vehicles, and we will have the building open for those that would like to go inside. And here in just a few moments, I'm going to share with you exactly what to expect when those services begin on July 5th. But folks, here's something that we must all understand. There is a wide range of opinions when it comes, even amongst Christians, there's a wide range of opinions and feelings about this matter of opening church buildings. Not just our church building, but of course many churches are now in this place where they have come to a point where they need to make a decision. And there's a lot of different feelings on both sides. There are those that just want to throw all caution to the wind and say, just open the building and go back to business as usual. Well, I understand those feelings, but if we do that, we will leave many behind who still feel in their conscience that isolating is important to them. As a pastor, I do not leave the one and go to the 99. As a pastor, my responsibility is to leave the 99 and go find the one. We cannot allow, yes, we cannot allow the differences of opinion to be divisive. We must support one another regardless of how we feel personally. We are not going to consider, now please listen to this, we are not going to consider people that remain outside in their vehicle. We're not going to consider them as weak in faith or unpatriotic or something like that. Nor will we consider those that decide to enter the building. We will not consider them radicals or hard chargers or reckless. We are one church family, and we are going to rally together until we get through all of this. Praise the Lord. And so you will have the option. We will continue to park all vehicles. Whether you are coming in the building or not, all vehicles will remain in this same parking format. We will have attendants out here in the parking lot for organization and for security. And for those that choose to enter in the building and worship, they certainly can. And we are going to support one another's decision without divisiveness, without disagreement, and so on. But, you know, some may ask about the dates that we have chosen. Some may ask, what if the state restrictions are still in place? And what about what the governor has said? And, you know, how does that compare to what, you know, President Trump announced a little over a week ago? And how does that compare with what the Supreme Court just ruled yesterday? If you're not aware of it, there was a disappointing decision by the United States Supreme Court yesterday to give states the power to limit church services. Well, that is unconstitutional, and at the end of the day, the Supreme Court does not govern the church. The President of the United States does not govern the church, nor does the governor. But at the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The Word of God leads the local church, and the pastors that God has ordained to lead it. And we know that we have to get back and worship God inside our sanctuary eventually. We have been patient. We have done all that we can to do, that we can do to make sure that we are not adversarial with our governments. Family Church has had a great working relationship with local officials. We have said from day one that our goal is not to be some group of freedom fighters. That still is not our goal. Church is not an extension of political beliefs. This is not a house of politics. The decisions we make are not political. They are spiritual. The church will not be a pawn in political contests. The time has come to make a decision, and we've made it. So here is what to expect once the building is open, and I want to share with you some notes that I have written down here. Okay, so first of all, it'll be Sunday, July 5th here in Jamestown. We will continue with our FM transmissions, and cars will park the same manner that you are parked in here today. Of course, we will stream the inside service on our LED screen. I will make sure to come out at some point during the service and to welcome those that are still out here in the parking lot. We will make sure that everybody, you know, feels included within our worship service. Offering will be received just the same way it is now. If you remain in your vehicles, when you exit that day, you will still give at the exits. If you are attending service inside the building, we're going to take up the offering as you exit the building. Our ushers will be out here underneath the carports, and you can simply choose to give as you leave the service. Everyone entering the building must use our hand sanitizing station just inside the doors. If you refuse to use it, we will not permit you inside the building. We will not be doing our normal greeting time when we are inside for our worship service. We will refrain from shaking hands and giving hugs. We have a wonderful, friendly church on our hands here. Folks, the days will come, you know, we'll shake hands again, we'll hug again, you know, all that stuff. But for the time being, for liability's sake, we will be refraining from our greeting time and shaking hands. There will be no loitering after service. If you do decide to go into our worship services, as soon as we dismiss, I will be dismissing by seating sections, and we will be asking and requiring everybody to leave the building immediately. We will not be hanging out for anything after service. All right. Masks are not mandatory, but are certainly welcome. If you choose to provide one for yourself, you can do that. Services will remain this same format that we've been doing. We will have a 1 hour service in that, you know, in that general time frame. 1 hour, I will start with quick announcements, one worship song, and then the sermon, and then dismissal. All right. If you do enter the church building, we are going to rearrange our seating, and it will promote some distancing without being crazy about it. And so something for you to expect if you do enter the building. And now this might be the factor that might influence a lot of our families here at the Jamestown Church. Our nursery will remain closed until further notice. We will not have any of our Kingdom Adventures or Little Adventures, Children's Ministries, youth groups, and Sunday schools will remain closed. We will not be doing any Wednesday night services until we open everything back up again. And so if you're here with a young family and you've been utilizing our nursery, we're going to give you a couple of options. Option number one, you're welcome to stay in your vehicle like you've been doing. Option number two is that we are going to be opening some of our extra rooms. We're going to be opening the nursery room. We're going to be opening our LA room and also our KA room and our mother's room, plus we have the narthex. We're going to make sure that in all of our extra rooms that we will have the closed circuit TV footage. If you have a child that needs tending to, you will be able to take them to one of those rooms of your choice. There will be no church staff or personnel in those rooms. We will have ushers in the hallways, but the rooms will be for you if you have a child that needs tending to, if you have a toddler or whatever, you can choose to enter one of those rooms on your own. Plus, we also have the narthex. You will be able to hear and watch the service from those rooms if you so use it. But the rest, you know, we are going to be in our sanctuary. You know, on the sermon, at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't have nursery workers. You know, when Jesus preached, you know, on the hillside, everyone was together. And no doubt there was, you know, families there with little kids. And, you know, there was, you know, no doubt some children that could have been crying. And you know what? Nobody cared because they were all together. And folks, if you come into the building and everyone comes in there together and someone's got to walk a child, you know, back and forth in the back of the sanctuary to calm them down, no big deal. If they got to get up, if we hear a child cry, we don't all have to look and stare. We all are going to be, you know, together. We don't need to be judgmental or critical. So what? There might be a little bit of noise that you might not be used to in our sanctuary. So what? Let's be patient. Let's love on these families. Praise the Lord. And so if you have young kids, those are your options for you. And of course, we will make these things more known to you in the weeks to come. But are you excited for July 5th? Praise the Lord. And so there we go. We will have our combination service. We're not going to be divisive in any way. We're not going to criticize people for staying out here. We're not going to criticize people for going inside. Amen. This will be a time of transitioning until we can just open everything up, go full steam, just like we did before. And folks, that day will come. Life will get back to normal. We will get through this. This too shall pass. Amen. Glory to God. Now, have you found Psalm 133? Go on over there to Psalm 133, and today I'm going to call this message, "The Virus Divides, the Church Unites." The virus divides, but the church unites. Folks, we are living in some interesting times, as you know. And if you're not aware of it, if you're not familiar with what's going on in our nation right now, there is a lot of division. There is division from the way people think politically. There's division in our society through this virus. Now there's racial division. We are seeing cities all over our nation. They're on fire with rioting and all of this spirit of division that has hit our country right now. Folks, you have to know and understand that that same spirit that is in the world will try to get into the lives of Christians. It will try to get into the local church, where it'll make people opinionated and divisive. And folks, today we're going to talk about unity in the church. We're going to talk about making sure that we are not divided from other believers, because you're going to see today in Psalm 133 how essential it is to make sure that we're not critical of one another, that we don't judge one another based on the decisions of going into the building or not, or letting our politics divide us. Folks, remember, we are Christians first. People ask, are you a Republican or Democrat? I say, I'm neither. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be God first. My church life is not an extension of my political beliefs. My political beliefs should be governed by the Word of God. Amen. And when politics is, listen, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So regardless of what man thinks, God is always right. Praise the Lord. And we're going to stick with that. And we have to understand that the plan and power of God in our lives is going to hinge upon the relationships that we have right here in our church family. Go to Psalm 133. Folks, and I'm going to say this many times here today, and I'm not saying it to be kumbaya. I'm not saying it to, you know, just sound sweet and nice. I'm saying it because I mean it. And I'm glad I'm wearing sunglasses so you can't see me getting all teary-eyed. But folks, I love you, and I need you. And I'm not saying that because of a pastor. I'm saying that not as leadership as much as I'm saying it as I need, and you'll see why in the Bible. We need one another. We need our church family. I'll tell you what, the blessings of God in my life begin right here with you. And the blessing and anointing of God in my life will only be as strong as we conduct a loving relationship with one another. And so I need you. I thank God for you. You are family to me. We are in covenant one with another. You know, opinions of you know, division and sowing discord among a church, it'll just destroy the blessing of God in your life. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to, you know, judge you what you wear or how you look or what you drive or all this stuff. I'm here to love you. I'm here to thank God for you. I need your faith. I need this family relationship, for without it, I don't have the blessing of God in my life. Psalm 133, it's only three verses. Let's read all three. And I know my time's a little bit short today because of the length of the announcement and so on. And so verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do we have any brethren here today? Praise the Lord. Now, verse 2 says, it is like, meaning the unity of the brethren is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, where? The place of unity. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now today we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to show you at least three things as we go through verses 1, 2, and 3 out of Psalm 133, how essential it is for us to have this unity together. Go back up to verse 1, and I want to point out some things to you. Notice it says, behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The word brethren means a relationship. Brethren means a community of those of like faith. The word brethren, it means family. It means those that should not be divided against one another. Brethren means a relationship where we prefer somebody above ourselves. Folks, notice this. Here's the first thing I want you to see here today. Notice the rest of the verse, or the chapter. Verse 2 talks about the precious ointment or the anointing of God, and we're going to talk about that. That means God's presence and God's power. And then verse 3 goes on to say, the blessing of the Lord that is commanded in your life. Notice where the power, presence, and blessing of God starts in your life. It starts in how you conduct yourselves in the relationships amongst your church family. If I'm going to walk in the blessing of God, I'm going to have to conduct myself with love, patience, and kindness with my church family. Because together, we generate an opportunity for God to bless every single one of us together. Praise the Lord. You cannot say you love God, but you don't like or love His people. Listen, His people is our opportunity. Listen, we know it's easy to love God. He's perfect. He's full of love. He does everything right. It's easy to love Him. He gave us everything. He gave Jesus to wash away our sins. But you know what? People don't always act like Him. I don't always act like Him. You don't always act like Him. And so where the effort lies is loving people who don't always act perfect. You know, it's loving those that may disagree with you. Loving those that feel differently than you were, or maybe politically or socially, they believe a little different than you. You got to love them. You got to thank God for their faith. You got to thank God that we have a church family. Amen. So here's the first thing that I want to show you today. The blessing and power of God resides in your ability to love the brethren. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like loving the brethren. Yeah, tell me about it. There is a, you act like there's always going to be some fuzzy feeling between one another. There's not. I don't love you out of my feelings. I love you as a choice. I love you as an extension of my faith and my belief in God. And listen, a lot of good feelings are here between one another. But you know, we say it all the time. What are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What are you going to do when these people don't always act just perfect towards you? See, that's the problem in churches today, is that people are way too touchy. They come into church looking for what everyone can give to them. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for one another. We're not here to get something and take it home. We're here to be a blessing to others. Amen. Church is not where you feed your selfishness. Church is the place where selfishness comes to die. Listen, I look at you and I see someone that God loved so much that He gave His Son for. And the Bible says, Jesus said three times to Peter, He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, love my people. You cannot say you love Jesus and then act like you despise God's people. I love you. I need you. The blessing of God in my life is determined by how I conduct myself with the relationship here with the church family. Notice it says how good and how pleasant it is for church family to dwell together in unity. Do you know the word unity has a root word to it? The root word of the word unity is unit. The word unit means everyone together. God is not looking to promote individuals as much as he's looking to promote us together as a family. See, a lot of Christians, they make the mistake, they come to church thinking that they themselves are the unit. You know what I mean by that? That they themselves are the single organism that needs the blessing and wants all the goodies. But when we come to church, we are to think about promoting the success of everyone here. Folks, if we get divisive, if you start criticizing people that stay in their cars or people that go into their building, if you start criticizing people for their beliefs on, you know, politics and all that, you are going to cost yourself the blessing of God. You're going to hinder the power of God in your church when you get into strife and arguments and politics and contention. These are not the days for Christians to be fighting with one another. These are the days for Christians to be loving and serving one another. Glory to God. You are my unit. You know what I mean? You are my family. We are one church together. And I'm not here to see myself promoted. I am here to see all of us walking in the blessing of God together. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are brethren. We are family. All this chaos that's in the world, it's not going to get into here. Family church is a drama-free zone. If you come to this church and to work your drama, I will run you out. If you are here to, you know, build your own kingdom and to try to get someone pitted against another, I'll root you out of here. First thing I'll do is to try to see why you're like that. See if you're hurting, and maybe hurting people do hurtful things. Maybe we can look into that first. But if you continue to want to serve your own drama here, I'll make sure that you are not ruining people's lives in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, brethren, we're dwelling together. We are a unit together. We don't see ourselves as individuals. We see ourselves as one church family. Amen. And God says, when you get to that place of loving God's people over yourself, watch how good, watch how pleasant your life becomes. Watch how wonderful your church environment becomes. Amen. So that's verse 1. Let's go down to verse 2. Glory to God. See, have we realized it's about the big picture? It's not about us, meaning ourselves as individual. If you come into a church service and you make it all about you, you've missed it. You've missed it. Stop thinking that everything's about you in this life. It's not. There are others that need your faith. Praise the Lord. All right, look at verse 2. Notice in verse 2, the first two words. It said, it is. It is like, meaning the unity of the brethren is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard. We'll talk about that in just a second. But the words, the two words, it is, you'll notice that in the King James Bible, those words are italicized. And they're italicized because they were not in the original Hebrew script. Meaning the translators, when they moved it from Hebrew to English, they added the words it is to try to help us understand. Okay? But those words weren't there. And so, and also look at the word like. It is like. The word like means literally in the Hebrew, it means equal to. Equal to. So you could read it like this. Now, of course, chapter and verse were not originally in the scripture as well. You could read it like, you could read verse 1 and 2 together like this. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, which is equal to the precious anointing upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. Do you know who Aaron is? Aaron was the first high priest of Israel. He was Moses' brother. And when they anointed him as high priest, they did not dab a little oil on his forehead. They took an entire pitcher or a vessel of oil and they poured it down the head of Aaron. And the oil went over his long black hair and went down over his beard and it covered his clothes and it went all the way down to his feet. And that oil signified the anointing of God. It signified the power of God coming upon Aaron to serve a special purpose. How many of you want to serve a special purpose in this life? Amen. It means that Aaron was being set apart. It meant that the power of God was coming upon him so he could live above natural means. It means that the power was on Aaron to live a supernatural life. How many of you want the anointing of God on your life so that you live above natural means? Glory to God. Notice where you're going to get that. When you're dwelling together in unity with your church family, the power, the blessing, the anointing of God begins right here with your attitude towards one another, your attitude towards your church, your attitude towards fellow believers. And I'm telling you, not only has this coronavirus thing tried to put an irreplaceable fear into people, not only has it tried to devour their lives financially, but it is also trying to plant a spirit of division in our society and within the church. Well, you know what? A couple weeks ago, we taught a message called Kick Satan Out of the Church, Kick Fear Out of the Church. Well, I'll tell you what, kick division out of the church. Because Satan is trying to divide in these times, and we can't let him in. Listen, if I want the anointing of God, then I have to understand that it begins right here with the relationships that I have in my church family. That's why I'm not going to talk behind your back when you leave today. That's why I'm not looking at what you're wearing or how much money you have or what car you drive. You know, we're not looking at stuff like that. Because the way I treat you, the way I think about you, going to determine the blessing of God in my life. I'm not going to risk that. I love you. I care about you. I want nothing but God's highest and best, and not for me selfishly, but for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for some definitions of the word ointment there in verse 2? So now the unity of the brethren equals the powerful supernatural anointing that was on Aaron, the high priest. Why would God compare us, you know, being together? Why would he compare us to the high priest? Because the high priest could go into the presence of God. And when we are dwelling together in unity, the presence of God is in our midst. Praise the Lord. And so the word anointing there, are you ready? Or ointment, it's also the word anointing. It means God's manifest presence. It means God's ability. It means God enabled. I like that. I want to live life God enabled. That should be evident upon our lives. Listen, the world is trying to face, you know, coronavirus and this situation in our country. They're trying to face it with just human enablement. But I tell you, folks, we're not facing this world with just human strength. We are facing it as God-empowered, God-enabled. Praise the Lord. It also means this. It means God-equipped. That word anointing, it means power to deliver. See, the power to deliver was coming upon Aaron. And now God is saying when you dwell in unity with your church family, the power to deliver is being added to your life. The word anointing means to live above natural means. What does that mean? It means we live supernaturally, not naturally. Glory to God. It literally means the Holy Spirit himself. So, we could say it this way. When God gifts a person or moves upon our assembly together, all right, he makes us greater than the sum of our parts. Meaning, he makes us greater than the circumstances that we're facing. Hallelujah. I am so glad to be here today with you in a place where the anointing of God can come upon my life. Thank God for the brethren. Hallelujah. But if we divide the brethren, if we strife with one another, if you criticize one another based on their feelings or what they decide to do, listen, you'll be destroying the very environment that God gave you to help you. Don't destroy the environment of God's power because you got to throw your politics into it. You got to throw your two cents in there. You got to throw your opinions in it. You got to criticize, well, they went in the building. How reckless. Oh, they stayed in the parking lot. How faithless. Don't you dare do that. Because it's not faithless to stay out here, and it's not reckless to go in there. We're going to rally together. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you just got to understand in life, there's going to be people that think and feel a little bit different than you. Have you realized yet that you're not as cool as you thought you were? You know, I don't know about you, but I believe I have this epiphany just about every single day. That if anything good comes out of my life, the only explanation is God. And if you haven't had that epiphany, if you don't live with that constant belief that without him, you're a worm, you know, if you don't live with that you know, revelation, I'll tell you, then you're hung up on yourself. You know what? People are going to think a little different than you. Not everyone's going to believe exactly the same. And they don't need your criticism. They need your patience. Praise the Lord. Everything, listen, look what division is doing to our country right now. Division is burning cities, is destroying innocent people's livelihoods, you know, destroying businesses. How did destruction ever solve any problem? Even what was done was wrong, and it was terrible. But you don't turn and try to fix a problem by creating more mayhem and destruction. It clearly is. That is wrong. That spirit of division is going to try to get into Christians' lives. You stay away from it. Don't you destroy the environment that God has made to bless your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We got to move along. I'll tell you what. God is not anointing anybody to be lone rangers. He's not anointing you to know better than everybody else. He's not anointing you so that you are right all the time. Come on now. You're going to have to understand, you know, that, you know, your way of thinking isn't always the best. And you're going to have to be patient with people. God is not anointing lone rangers. He's anointing people that know how to flow with the church family. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. My time is slipping away, and so I'm going to skip some things in my notes to get down to verse 3. Now, of course, real quickly before we go to verse 3, we got to remember here, it is equal. That unity of the brethren is equal to the power of God that set Moses or Aaron apart to go into the presence of God. It was equal to the power of that deliverance that was coming upon Aaron. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm so glad to have you. I'm so glad to have a church family. I'm so glad. Now, look at verse 3. So now we've talked about the brethren. We've talked about unity. We've talked about the anointing that sets us apart, its power to deliver and to be God-enabled. Now, let's go to verse 3. It says, as the dew of Hermon. Now, there's that word as or like. Literally, the word as there is that same word equal to. So the unity of the brethren is equal to the anointing of Aaron, okay? It is also equal to the dew of Hermon. Say, well, what is the dew of Hermon? And it says, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Where does the Lord command the blessing? Where there is unity among the brethren. See, I can't have blessing apart from you. I can't be here and promoting myself and expect God to bless me. I can't be talking behind people's backs. I can't be criticizing people. I can't be gossiping about church folks or anybody for that matter and expect the blessing of God to be upon me. We can't allow strife and division in this church and expect God to bless this unit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when I come here and I'm together with you, I'm in the place where God has commanded his blessing. He has commanded his anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll never look at church the same. We cannot just have a shallow understanding of what it means to be part of a church family. We better be grateful for it every moment we're alive. We better be excited about what our church is doing. You know, when church is gathering, we should be there because that's where God is commanding the blessing. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, notice it says, as the dew of Hermon, or equal to the dew of Hermon. Now, the dew of Hermon might mean nothing to you, but let me explain what it is. The dew of Hermon is what would allow those desert mountains in Israel to bloom or to grow. Now, of course, you know that that environment over there is arid. It's not as lush and green everywhere like we have it here in the northeastern part of the United States. But you know that over there that is very arid. It's almost desert-like in a lot of those areas. And those mountains of Zion, to look upon them, most of the time are very dry, right? They're brown. Nothing really grows there. But every once in a while, the desert over there, it blooms with flowers and grass. And one way that that happens is through the dew that will saturate that ground and allow things to grow in places that it seemed impossible. And so here is what the anointing of the unity of the brethren does in your life. It enables God to grow things in your life that could not show up any other way. Hallelujah. When we are together, even when your life seems that you're walking through the desert, if you've been faithful to your church family, that anointing is getting on your life. And it will cause things to grow in your life supernaturally. Things will just spring up. Your life will bloom even when you were walking through a dry place. If God can turn a desert into a garden, he says that's what his power wants to do in your life. He wants to turn your desert life into a blooming field. Amen. And so that's what the dew of Hermon did. It allowed things to grow in the desert where things aren't supposed to grow. I look out and I see many of you, and I've had the privilege of knowing you for several years and watching your faithfulness in the Lord, and I've seen things just supernaturally spring up in your life. Supernatural promotions. Supernatural provisions. It could be jobs. It could be nice things in your life. I've seen supernatural healings. God restore marriages. Things turned around with your kids. You know, situations that looked impossible, and all of a sudden something grew up that would not have happened on its own. You know where that comes from? That comes from loving God's people. That comes from having a church family. You know, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, Paul says it literally this way. He says, you are the garden of God, meaning the church together. He wasn't talking about just the individuals. So when we're here together, guess what? We're God's garden. And he's doing some watering here today. Hallelujah. And so, all right, we talked about the brethren in these relationships. We talked about unity and promoting the success of the entire family unit. Praise God. We talked about the anointing, the deliverance, the power, the presence of God that comes upon us, sets us apart because we dwell together in unity. And it's like the dew of Hermon. It causes our lives to bloom even when they seem dry. Glory to the Lord. And now we're in the place that God has commanded the blessing forevermore. So what is our job here? Our job is to not ruin it. You know, just strifing and fighting with one another will destroy the presence of God in a church. If you want to come in here and, you know, you have a mentality like, everyone give me attention. I want the attention. Notice me. Notice me. You're in the wrong place. I'm not here to be noticed. I'm here to love somebody. I'm here to prefer somebody above myself. You know, you hear me use the illustration all the time. Be a faucet, not a drain. A faucet waters things. A drain demands that everything comes to them. You know, and I always use this illustration because I think of this picture in my head every time I say this. You know, I remember when our boys were little and, you know, and they're just little tiny kids and you just do the community bath. You know, meaning you put all the kids in the tub, scrub them up, you know, they got their toys, rubber duckies, all this stuff, get them out, dry them off, and it's just all done at once. And I remember after the kids would be done, you know, in the bath, you know, the two boys would get out and there'd be toys and washcloths and cups and all these things in the water, and you flip the switch and you hit the drain. And you notice that as that water's draining out all those toys, everything moves towards the drain. See, if you're a person that just demands everything comes to you, you're a drain. You know, if you're just demanding, oh, that they notice me, why hasn't anybody been my friend? How come nobody has sent me a card? I had somebody literally, somebody who was in leadership. Well, I shouldn't say leadership. They were in the Ministry of Helps here at the church. They were here for a while, and one day this couple came to me and they said, we're leaving the church. I said, oh no. Well, that's not good news. What's going on? What's bothering you? And they said, we've been here for such and such a time. I forget exactly what the time was. I thought it was a year or months or whatever it was. And they said, we're leaving because we've been here for this long and nobody has sent us a card. Card? Like, what do you mean? Like a gift card? I'm thinking, I had no idea. No, a greeting card. Just a card that says, we're thinking about you. I said, you're leaving the church because no one has sent you a greeting card in the mail. Yep. We are leaving church for that. Folks, that is a pure example of a drain. That is somebody who says, notice me. I want the attention. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. Some people, they're waiting, they're calling on God. I wish I had, you know, friends in my life. And they're expecting God to deliver them on the front doorstep. God doesn't say he's bringing you friends. He says, if you want friends, go show yourself friendly. Boy, Christians, we have that mentality. We just think that God's going to drop things on our doorstep. You want a job? Go look for one. You want a harvest? Go sow for one. You want friends? Go be friendly. Maybe it's not people's fault, you know, that you don't have friends. Have you ever decided to look at yourself? You know, I mean, we got to do that. I'm not here to expect everyone to serve me. I'm here to serve one another. Glory to God. And when you look and take that perspective, God's blessing is going to come on your life. Oh, Pastor, you hurt my feelings. God is just trying to command the blessing on your life. He's just trying to get more anointing on you. He's just trying to pour that anointing over your head. He's just trying to get goodness and pleasant things in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife and I, we were talking about Dr. Dufresne last night. And, you know, and Dr. Dufresne, he had a real strong ministry. He taught about angels. He had visions of angels. You know, supernatural things happened in his life. But he always made sure to balance that stuff. He always said, listen, we can talk about angels and how they guard us and protect us, and no evil befall us, no plague near our dwelling, the, you know, They serve those that are heirs of salvation. But you know what? They're not if you're mistreating one another. Angels aren't there to help you if you're acting like a jerk all the time. Say, oh my goodness, did he just say that? Yeah, absolutely. We better talk real. If you're mean and impatient with everybody, you know, the power of God isn't rushing to help people that are just selfish and demanding and critical. Amen. Come on now. Let's make sure. Don't let this spirit of division that's in the world get into your life. Don't let it get into the church. God's got anointing for you. He's got good things. He's got a pleasant life. Amen. He's got the anointing to make things grow, even when it seems you're walking in the desert. Listen, you could just take this as a word of prophecy. You could say that the world is walking through a desert place right now. You could say that our economy is walking through a desert place right now. Many are in need of provision. Many are in need of jobs. Well, just know this. Jobs will stay away from those who are constantly in strife. Provision and blessing will run from those that are critical and judgmental. And so now, especially if it's a desert time and you need things to grow, now is not the time for gossip, bickering, strifing in the home or the church. Amen. Did you get some help out of this today? Yeah, praise the Lord. Drama-free zone. And so we will look forward to July 5th. We have been patient. We're giving it a whole extra month, folks, of these drive-in services. I believe by July 5th there will be restrictions that will be lifted. But regardless, we're going to have our building available to those that want that. Or if you prefer to stay in your vehicle, you will have that option as well. But what we will be is one church dwelling together in unity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads right there in our vehicles, and let's pray. Father God, we just love you today. We glorify you. You are so faithful. Lord, my goodness, we will never look at our church family the same again. We love one another. Your blessing, it starts here. The plan of God for our lives, it starts with how we treat one another. The relationships that we foster within the church are the most important in our lives. Father, you're looking for people that love your people, that don't promote themselves, that promote others. Father, we thank you for the anointing, the power of deliverance, the power to live above natural means. Father, we thank you for the dew of Hermon, the power of God in our lives that causes things to grow even when it's a desert around us. Father, thank you for what's taking place as we gather together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you so much that we have not missed one weekend service. We see each other. We can see each other in person. Even though it's been through a car window, we have been together on this property in the name of Jesus every single week. Nobody has been left behind. And Father, moving forward, nobody will be left behind. We will not be divisive. We will embrace this transition time. And Father, we look forward to the days ahead when the church is open full. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, with all heads bowed and every eye still closed, here in a moment, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer of salvation to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you're visiting, and if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so I want to give you that opportunity right now, in case there's anybody here in our parking lot or watching via live stream that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Everyone go ahead and pray this prayer with me. Speak it from your heart. Don't just think it in your mind, but speak these words out of your mouth. God will hear you. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you get some help here today? You know, we have a parking lot that's filled with people that have made that decision. If you're here and you've already made Jesus your Lord and Savior, can you just go ahead and hit your horns? Yeah, just to show you. We've got a lot of people that have made this decision, but if you're here today and you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it with all your heart, I just wanted to show you that we're here to rejoice with you. We're not here to make a spectacle of you or try to embarrass you. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time, wherever you are in this parking lot, could you just beep your horn? Praise the Lord, I did have a horn beep back there. You know, it's just so wonderful to see people coming to Jesus all the time. Folks, we are just saying that more souls are going to be saved during this coronavirus thing than were ever lost. Amen? Praise the Lord. Folks, I love you with all my heart. God loves you more. We've had a great atmosphere of unity over these weeks. Let's just keep it going. Folks, go ahead and enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Church family, you know what to do for our offering. The ushers are at the exits. If you're here and you're visiting today, don't feel obligated. If you want to be a blessing, you certainly can. Folks, God bless you. I love you. Have a great afternoon. Praise the Lord.